So good to see you again. Looks like you've grown around here, praise God. Amen. All right, smile real big at somebody and tell them you're in the right place today, and then you can be seated. Amen. Well, I'm glad you all remembered me. It's about 4 years ago since I was here last. Have I got any taller? Am I better looking? That's all that matters. Hallelujah. I will be 77 next month. That's a good number, 77, you know. Praise God. And I'm one of these strange birds, my wife tells me, that always looks forward to getting older. I always have. I love getting older. I'm not old, I'm getting older.
Amen.
Okay? Someone made me a t-shirt and said, I'm not old, I'm vintage. Amen. And one of the reasons I like getting older is the promises of God for older people.
Yes.
One of them in Psalm 92, I believe it is, says they will still flourish in old age. Amen. And another translation adds this, they will still flourish and they will still be anointed. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to diminish in the anointing. I'm going to increase in the anointing. And I look forward to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, pastors, for receiving us again. I know we've communicated during the COVID time, and he did everything he possibly could do to get me to come during COVID. And I said, I'm not taking that vaccination. Okay, and I didn't, and I'm not going to. Praise God. Now, I'm not saying anybody else, you know, can follow my example, but I just sensed in my spirit, my wife and I both, that we just didn't need to do that. And God took care of us, praise God. And so I said, as soon as Canada releases some of the restrictions, you know, I'm not the Terminator, I'm the Sermonator, I'll be back. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Yesterday, after Pastor Greg picked us up at the airport and took us to have a fine lunch and then took us to the hotel, I've been preaching so many nights. I mean, I think in the last 3 or 4 months, I've had about maybe 10 days at home. On one trip, I preached 17 services in a row. In 14 days. So that meant some of them had two services. And then I came home for a couple of days and then started all over again. And then, of course, I not only keep my schedule, but I've committed myself to Brother Copeland to do all of his victory campaigns with him, which I will be going to after this meeting up with him in Omaha, Nebraska, and do a victory campaign there with him. So between my schedule and his schedule, it has been nonstop. So in about another week or so, I'll preach at my own church and introduce myself to them as their founding pastor, because they very seldom see me, you know. And then Thanksgiving comes for us there in the U.S. And then from that point, oh, hallelujah, I'm pacing myself. Can you hear it?
Yes.
You don't know this song? Honolulu, Honolulu. Oh, it's hallelujah. I'm sorry. So Carol and I are getting ready to go on vacation. And oh, we're looking forward to it so very much. Praise God. All right. After checking into the hotel, sir, when I began to kind of make my nest in there and unpack and everything, I rested for a few, maybe an hour or so. And then I got up thinking about this service and about these services this week. And I sensed a very strong leading from the Holy Spirit to say this to you. And I just want to say it exactly the way he said it to me. For those of you who have remained faithful through all the turmoil that's been taking place in our world, you are on the brink of a major breakthrough. You are on the brink of a major breakthrough. And this is not the time to give up. It's not the time to back off. Keep trusting God. Keep trusting His Word. God is working behind the scenes in your behalf, even as you are sitting here listening to me right now. Something good, and I'll borrow this phrase from one of my spiritual fathers, Oral Roberts, something good is about to happen to you. Amen. Amen. And I think we ought to go ahead and give the Lord a good shout in advance. Praise God. Something good is about to happen to you. You're on the brink of a major breakthrough. Do you mind if I just read what I heard from the Holy Spirit? I'll expound upon it as He directs me. But I don't want to miss a word of this. You're entering into a new season of blessings. Favor is coming your way in ways you've never experienced before. You're about to experience some very positive changes in your life, and you're going to be so glad that you didn't give up. Miracle breakthroughs are coming, and your God is not going to allow you to be defeated. Something big is on the horizon. Watch for it. Expect it. What seemed impossible just yesterday and looked as though it would never happen is about to happen. God hasn't forgotten you. You are ever before His face, and He's always got you on His mind. It's a Psalm 20 moment for you. Now, you have to read Psalm 20 to know what that means. Let me just read it to you from two translations. From the King James, verses 2 through 5. He will send you help from the sanctuary, strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all your offerings. Grant thee according to thine own heart. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, the Passion Translation says, He will remember every gift you have given. Are there any sowers in the house? How many of you are waiting for your harvest? He will remember every gift that you have given. He will celebrate every sacrifice of love that you have shown. He will give you every desire of your heart, and He will carry out your every plan. Look at somebody and say, this is your Psalm 20 moment. Tell somebody else, this is your Psalm 20 moment. And I think we ought to give Him another shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I learned a long, long time ago. Now, this is my 54th year in the ministry. February will be, I'll enter in my 55th year. And I learned a long, long time ago that one of the greatest expressions of faith is thanksgiving and praise. If you can praise God in advance before you ever see anything happen, there is no greater expression of faith. So why don't we just do that right now? Praise God in advance before we ever see anything happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank You for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, the Passion Translation goes on to say in Psalm 20, when you succeed, we will celebrate and shout for joy. And notice it's not if you succeed, it's when you succeed. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a sure thing. I don't have any doubt about it. Say, I don't have any doubt about it. It's a sure thing. I'm about to win again. Well, I think it's time to praise God again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Notice once again that it's not if you succeed, but it's when you succeed. It's a sure thing. So never stop celebrating and praising God in advance. Tell somebody, you're on the brink of a major breakthrough. And now, won't you go ahead and help them celebrate? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just warn you, there's going to be a whole lot of celebrating this morning. I said there's going to be a whole lot of celebrating this morning. Hallelujah. So get your praise ready. Get your shout ready. Get your jump ready. Get your run ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Looks like to me there's a lot of people in here that need a breakthrough. Sounds like to me God had you on his mind. Hallelujah. Don't sit down yet. Go ahead and celebrate. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Jeff, stay ready. Jeff's my surrogate runner. Hallelujah. He's run for me all over the world. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, Jeff. You haven't run in 3 years? Hey, look at there.
That's the first I've ever run.
And I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, he feels better and so do I. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated, but don't turn the praise off. Amen. You're on the brink of a major breakthrough. I recently found a wonderful scripture that says what I've been telling people for many, many years all over the world. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 45. Go there with me. Isaiah chapter 45. Now, the King James does not say it the way I've been saying it and sharing it with people, as I said, for many years all over the world. The King James says in verse 15, Isaiah 45, "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." But the way I've been saying it, and I didn't know the Message said it that way until just recently when I discovered it. You're a God who works behind the scenes. You're a God who works behind the scenes. That's the reason I tell people, don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on His Word. You know, during COVID, my last meeting was in March of 2020 in Denver, Colorado. I preached on a Saturday night. I preached two services Sunday morning, and I preached on Sunday night in the same church. And then after that Sunday night service, I got on my airplane and flew home. And when I arrived home the next morning, the announcement that everything had been shut down due to COVID. Okay? So I did not leave Fort Worth from March until August. And Brother Copeland had me come over to his headquarters, and we did virtual victory campaigns from his studios where we only had the camera crew in there. Everything was shut down. Now, I was scheduled to be all over Europe at the end of March, and then after that, I was scheduled to be all over Africa shortly after that. Had to cancel all of those meetings, had to cancel all of my church tours across the U.S., and so I didn't leave my house, Fort Worth, until August, the end of August, when things began to change a little bit. And the first church that I was scheduled to be in that I didn't have to cancel was a small church in Kansas. And, no, I'm sorry, in Missouri. And it's just a small church, kind of out in the country. The place was packed out. I mean, they couldn't get another person in there. When they turned the service to me, I said, "Looks like to me you people were ready to get out of the house." And they were. And boy, did we have a meeting. And then, of course, we were able to continue our traveling schedule. But the point I want to make is this. From March until August, being a traveling ministry, there was no income from meetings. Okay? But it didn't hurt us at all. I have a strong partner base. And my partners, without me saying a word, they took up slack. Amen. And in fact, by the end of the year, we had broken every record in the history of our ministry with in the way of finances that had come into the ministry. Not only that, now talking about God working behind the scenes. I travel internationally. We have international offices. John oversees everything we do in Africa, and Walter's on our board here in Canada, so we've been traveling overseas. I started doing international ministry in 1978, and I've been doing it ever since. And I have personally preached in 50 different nations, but our resources are all over the world. The television broadcast is in over 200 nations. I can't get to all the nations that have invited me to come. I'm doing my best to honor their invitation and their desire to have us come. During that process of not being able to go out, we were still believing for an international aircraft. Now, God has blessed our ministry over the last 54 years, and I've said this to you before, many of you remember it. When I first came to the Lord in 1969, New Year's Eve of that same year, I had begun going to the church that my wife grew up in. She went to a Pentecostal church. When we married, I'd never even heard the word Pentecostal. I didn't know what a Pentecostal was. I soon found out. Hallelujah. Because she prayed for me in that language all the time. And I didn't like it because I didn't know what she was saying, you know. And she would give me the interpretation every once in a while. God don't let him have any more fun until he surrenders his life to you. You know? And so that was her interpretation of how she prayed in this spirit. So anyway, eventually when I came to the Lord, then I started going to the church that she grew up in. And on just before New Year's Eve, Pastor Jack Moore, who was very close friends with all the great healing evangelists of those days, William Brannan came to Carolyn's church all the time. In fact, William Brannan and Pastor Jack Moore were best friends. If you ever see a picture of William Brannan, probably in that picture standing next to him is Pastor Jack Moore. On the other side of him would be Gordon Lindsay. And then on the other side of him would be a tall Native American man whose name was Young Brown, and that was my wife's uncle. And they traveled all over the world with William Brannan. And Brother Jack Moore had all the great healing evangelists in his church. And he was close friends with them all. Jack Cole, all of them. Carolyn grew up in all that. I didn't. So when I started going to the church, I'm learning about all these great moves of God that had taken place before I came to the Lord. Pastor Jack was a precious man. He actually was a very successful businessman in our town of Shreveport, Louisiana. But he had such a heart for God that he wanted to be able to provide a place for people to hear the Word of God. And he was very adamant about people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he built the church himself. He owned construction companies. He owned developing companies. He owned real estate. So he was a very successful businessman, but he had such a heart for God that he built the church himself. And that's the church that Carolyn and her folks began attending. And her father, my wife's father, actually worked for Brother Moore for a short time until he went into business for himself, building homes. And so Brother Moore said to us one Sunday, New Year's is coming up, and we're going to have a watch night service. So I turned to Carolyn and I said, what is a watch night service? She said, we're going to have church all night. I said, you're kidding. Church all night? I mean, I've just worked my way up to an hour. Church all night? You know? And so she said, yeah, we're going to have church all night. I said, what in the world are we going to do in church all night? She said, well, there'll be a lot of singing. There'll be a lot of testimonies. There's a number of ministers, preachers in our congregation, and Brother Moore will have them all share about 15 minutes or so. She called it a sermonette. And then there'll be more singing and more testimonies. And then he had announced that he had invited a man that he considered to be a prophet of God to be the keynote speaker that night and take us into the New Year's. So I'm looking forward to it. I've never been in a New Year's service, watch night service. And so they did exactly what Carolyn said they would do. And then when he introduced the prophet to be the keynote speaker, and he said, he'll take us into the new year. And he told me when he called before he arrived, he told me that he had a word for the church. And so we're all looking forward to this word from the church, to the church. And so he gave this powerful word. And then when he got through, he said, now I want all the men to stand up. Every man in this service. Well, there were probably 150 men or so in the service. And he said, I want you all to stand up. Then I want you to form a line around the walls of the church. And you're going to come up here and stand in front of me. I'm going to be standing here. And Pastor Moore is going to be standing opposite me. You're going to walk between us. We're going to lay hands on you. I may or may not have a word for you. If not, we'll just pray over you. Then keep moving. And then the next man come and do likewise. So I was sitting way over here on this side of the auditorium. So when I got up, I'm in the line way back over here. And I thought, well, yeah, it'll take us into New Year's, dear God. I hope we get finished by Easter, you know. I mean, and so I'm waiting my time. You know, I'm just being a good little trooper, waiting my time. And one after the other. The prophet laid his hands on the right side of their head, Brother Moore on the left side, and every once in a while he'd have a prophetic word. If not, he'd usually have Brother Moore just pray for them and then move on. So finally, it's my time. And I walk up there, and the prophet lays his hands on this side of my head, Brother Moore on this side of my head, and the prophet says, airplanes, airplanes, airplanes. And Brother Moore said, oh, yeah, Jerry, fly, fly, fly. I don't have a clue what that means. So I walked off, and the prophet said, no, 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 wait, there's more, there's more. So I went back. The prophet said, airplanes, airplanes, airplanes. Brother Moore said, oh, yes, Jerry, fly, fly, fly. I thought, okay, they're done. So I walked off, and they said, no, there's more. Airplanes, airplanes, airplanes. Oh, yeah, Jerry, fly, fly, fly. I just stood there and they said, you can go now. So I went back. Now, back in those days, as far as I was concerned, Carolyn and the Holy Ghost were one and the same. Okay? Because she interpreted everything for me. I've never been in a church like this. Never been in, you know, where there's prophecy and prophetic words and all that. So she help interpret the services for me. So I walked back to her and I said, what did all that mean? Now, the only time I'd ever been on an airplane was when I was in the military. An airplane took me to Fort Dix, New Jersey. And after I served my time, an airplane brought me back. That was the only two times I'd ever been on an airplane. I said, what did airplanes, 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 and fly, fly, fly mean? She said, sounds like to me, boy, you're going to spend the rest of your life in airplanes, airplanes, airplanes. You're going to fly, fly, fly. So when we got home that night, now by this time, you know, it's January the 1st, 1970, when we got home after that service. So when I got home, the Lord had told me to journal everything he said to me. Now, I have journals in my archives that go back 54 years. And I wrote in there what the prophet, Pastor Moore, said. Airplanes, 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 and fly, fly, fly. Now, the next morning when I got up, I went before the Lord, and I brought that journal out, and I said, Lord, what does this mean? He said, just like your wife said, you're going to spend the rest of your life in airplanes, 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 and you're going to fly, fly, fly. And then he said this, you will not be able to fulfill what I've called you to do without airplanes in your ministry. He said, you don't need them now, but start believing for them now. And when you do need them, they'll be there. And then he said this, I don't want you ever flying airplanes with debt on them. So I wrote all that in that journal. Now, and I'd go back and look at that, and I'd think, dear Lord, I was in debt up to here when he said that to me. I owed a mortgage on my home. I had notes on Carolyn's car. I had notes on my truck. The television we were paying notes on, the refrigerator we were paying notes on. I think we still had 3 payments on the broom. I mean, we were in debt to everything. And God's talking debt-free airplanes. Only God. I wrote it down, and I'd pull it out and look at it. And I'd remind myself of what he said. You don't need them now, but believe for them now when you don't need them. And when you do need them, they'll be there. Okay? So that's what I did. Now, shortly after that, Brother Copeland came. It was the first visit he came in February of 1969 when I surrendered my life to the Lord. Now he's coming back, and it's probably 9 or 10 months later for a second visit. And as it turned out, he wrecked his automobile on the way over there, a brand new 1969 Pontiac Bonneville. And that's the kind of business I was in before I went in the ministry. I owned an automotive paint and body shop, and I restored classic cars, and Dad and I built hot rods and race cars. And so he asked Pastor Moore if there was somebody in the church that he knew that could repair his car while he was in town. So Brother Moore asked me if I could do it. Now, I didn't have my shop anymore. I'd shut my business down, and I was preparing for full-time ministry. But I told him to tell Brother Copeland I would be happy to repair his car for him, but I'd have to do it at home, if he doesn't mind me doing it at home. And so he said, yes, that'd be fine. So he was having 3 services a day for a week that I intended to go to every service, but I couldn't go to the day services because I'm working on his car and he needed it finished by the end of the week when he got ready to leave town. But I didn't miss a night service. So one day he comes over and watches me. And he's standing there, you know, like this, watching me, and I'm on my knees grinding a quarter panel down, and I'm thinking, this man is the one who brought the word that changed my life. And I began to discover scriptures on, you know, about the just shall live by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I said to him, Brother Copeland, do you mind if I ask you some questions? He said, no, not at all. So I put the grinder down and I asked him a few questions. He was very gracious in answering the questions. And then he said, now I've got to go and get prepared for the service tonight. Will you be there? I said, yes, sir, I will. So I'm setting about where you are, sir. And Brother Copeland opens his service and begins to preach. About 15 minutes into it, he just stopped and said, Jerry, stand up. Now, I don't know what he's going to do. Don't have a clue. Jerry, stand up. He said, after I left you today, I was in prayer, and God showed me that you and I will be a team. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives together preaching the Word of God all over the world. It'll be your responsibility to believe God for the perfect timing for the team to begin. Sit down. And then he went on and preached. I turned to Carolyn and the Holy Ghost. I said, what did all that mean? She said, sounds like to me we're moving to Fort Worth, Texas. I said, why? She said, he said, you're going to be a team. You're going to spend the rest of your lives together preaching the Word of God all over the world. I thought, wow. Wouldn't that be a great privilege? I mean, here's the man that brought the message to me that changed my life. Now I'm going to spend the rest of my life preaching with him all over the world. Well, I thought, that's the favor of God, you know. And so I'm, you know, beginning to get invitations there in my community to come and teach and so forth. And then I got an invitation to be in Oklahoma City to do a youth rally. And while I'm in that meeting there, the pastor of that church, we had won so many young people to the Lord during the time I was there and increased the youth department tremendously. He asked me if I would consider moving to Oklahoma City and become the youth pastor there. And I said, well, sir, I'll pray about it and I'll let you know as soon as I hear from God. And so it sounded good because I didn't have an income. Okay? I'm not being invited to many places. I didn't have a steady income. And I'm believing God for food on my table and clothes for the babies and so forth. And this sounded like a good opportunity, because I don't know when, you know, I'm going to work with Brother Copeland and we're going to preach the gospel together all over the world. I don't know when that's going to happen. And he said it was my responsibility to believe God for the perfect timing. So I thought this would be a good opportunity and it would give me an income. Okay. So I'm driving back from Oklahoma City, and as soon as I walked in the door, my wife said, Brother Copeland called and he's in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and wants to know if you can meet him there. I said, when? She said, in the next day or two. So I unpacked and repacked and got in the car, and Carolyn and I, and our girls, they were very young at the time, we drove to Jacksonville Beach, Florida. And when I got there, he was about to start a meeting, and he said, I want you to spend some time in prayer with me in this meeting. And so I did. And then one morning he said, have you been believing God for the perfect timing for the team to begin? I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, well, when's it going to begin? And I heard it come out of my mouth. I had not premeditated it. I just heard it come out of my mouth. As soon as this meeting's over, I'll move to Fort Worth. He said, good. I believe that's God's timing. So I told Carolyn, when we get home from Jacksonville, we're moving to Fort Worth. And we did. We moved to Fort Worth. Now, when I went to work with Brother Copeland, he was flying a little Cessna Skylane, a little single-engine airplane. It wasn't much faster than a lawnmower with wings, okay? But it was faster than a car, and we're just kind of putting around there, you know? Not very high, but higher than with the traffic on the highway, you know? And we're just putting along there. Well, I'm sitting up in the right seat and watching what he's doing, because he'd been a charter pilot, a commercial pilot, before he went to ministry. And so I'm watching, you know, and learning. He'd share with me. And every once in a while, he'd say, take the yoke, and I'll teach you some things. And so after a while, obviously, I got the bug, and I wanted to learn how to fly. Okay? So I started taking flying lessons. Now, I worked with Brother Copeland as his associate minister from about 1971 until the end of 73. Okay, now during that time, I had watched him believe in his ministry 3 different airplanes, debt-free. Okay, and each time it was another step up than what he previously had. And each time when it was time to go up to that next step, he gave away the airplane he was flying as seed for the next one. Okay, now I'm watching this. See, the Bible says, follow those who, yes, through faith and patience inherit the promises. Yes. Okay, so I'm watching this. In fact, years later, everything I learned during those first 3 years of working with him, I later put it in a book entitled In the Footsteps of a Prophet. Yeah. And all those things I learned from him are in that book. Okay, and so now it's time for me to launch out into my own ministry. The Lord began to deal with me about that. And I argued with him. I said, Lord, if I launch out in my own ministry, it'll split up the team. And how's that going to work? He said, no, it won't split up the team. It'll enable the team to cover twice as much territory with the same message. I said, well, I'm not moving until you reveal it to Brother Copeland. So we're flying back from Long Beach, California. And now by this time, he's flying a Cessna 414. You know, cabin class, and faster and higher and so forth, twin engine. So I'm setting up in the cockpit, and Brother Copeland, after he reaches his cruising altitude, turns the autopilot on, turns to me and said, when are you leaving? I said, leaving where? I'm going to Fort Worth with you. He said, I'm not talking about it on this trip. When are you leaving? I said, well, I was waiting for the Lord to reveal it to you. He said, well, I know it's God. I don't want it to happen, but I know it's God, and I'm not going to stand in your way. And he said, so I release you with my blessing. Okay? Then he said this. He said, now, I'll call some pastors I know and have them to invite. I said, no, sir, I don't want you to do that. He said, why not? I said, well, I don't want to spend the rest of my life wondering if I would have ever made it without Kenneth Copeland opening the doors for me. I said, I learned before I even came to work for you a scripture, and God told me to hold on to it. A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before a great man. I said, that's the reason why I think I'm working for you, is that scripture brought me, my gift brought me into your life and ministry.
That's right.
Okay, so don't call a soul. If I'm called and if the anointing God's on me, God's, the gift that God's put in me will open the doors. No one else has to do it for me. And then I said, and I don't want you to pay me this last month that I will work for you, the month of December. I don't want you to pay me. He said, why not? I said, because in 1 month, I won't have your check to depend on, so I might as well get a jump start on believing God for my own ministry, finances. He said, okay, if that's what you want. And so, and I told him, I said, now I'm gonna give you 150%, you know, of my life and what I do this last month. And then January the 1st, 1974, I launch out into my own ministry. That month of December, God brought more money into my life than I had made working for Him the whole year. I walked out of His office on December the 31st and walked into my fully furnished office, everything paid for, with money in the bank and more meetings than I could get to in 6 months. Amen. God is faithful. Okay. Now, after I launched out my own ministry, I can't get to all the places I've invited to preach, not driving a Ford station wagon. And that's how I was getting around, was driving a Ford station wagon with my family in it and what little bit of equipment I had, sound system and so forth. And now I'm being invited to come to so many places, I can't get to them all in a car. So I pulled out that journal. It is written.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I said, Lord, You said, start believing for airplanes when you don't need them, and when you do need them, they'll be there. I said, this would be a wonderful time for an airplane. And I said, and it won't be the last, because You said airplanes, 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 fly, fly, fly. So I pulled that out, and I reminded, well, not that He forgot it, but I just, you know, reminded Him of what He said. And that was the latter part of 1974. By 1975, I'm in my first debt-free airplane, okay? And I flew it for a couple of years, and then the Lord told me to sell it and divide the money between two ministries that were hurting financially and about to go under. And He said, if you'll divide the money that you get out of that airplane between these two ministries, it'll save both ministries. And I might add, they're still going today, praise God. So I sold it and divided the money, and then it's time for my next one, okay? Now, each and every time that I sold an airplane into another ministry when I outgrew it. In fact, I gave Ed Dufresne his very first airplane. I had a beautiful 421 Golden Eagle. I had just put a new paint job on it, just put new interior in it, just had two gold medallion engines put on it, had 20 hours on it. And I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas, preaching with Happy Caldwell, Lester Sumrall, Buddy Harrison, and Ed Dufresne. And the night Ed was preaching, my wife and I are sitting on the front row, and I knew Ed was going through some challenges. He'd just gone through a divorce, and he was hurting, and he didn't talk about it a lot, but we were close, and I knew all of that. We knew his wife and his children. My girls were best friends with his girls, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, Ed's hurting. He said, he doesn't think I'm hearing his prayers right now. I said, well, what do you want me to do about it? He said, give him your airplane. So I turned to Carolyn. I said, the Lord just told me to give Ed my airplane. She said, well, I know you. You'll be obedient. I said, Lord, you want me to do it privately or publicly. He said, just hold your peace. I'm telling you, it wasn't 30 seconds later. Ed just stopped and said, Brother Jerry, God just told you to do something, be obedient to him. And he told me later, he didn't know what I was going to do. He told me later, he thought I was going to get up and say, this lady over in the red dress over here, God's healing you of cancer or whatever. I said, well, Lord, apparently you want me to do this publicly. Now notice how God was working behind the scenes. That's my point in the story. God was working behind the scenes. And Ed was believing for his first airplane. He didn't know that God was going to do that in that meeting. I didn't know God was going to do that in that meeting. So I said, well, Lord, I guess you want me to do this publicly. So I walked up there to the podium. I said, Ed, you're hurting. And I know the struggle you're going through. And you don't think God's hearing your prayers right now. And you've been believing for an airplane. And I said, and the Lord told me to give you mine. And if you'll let me fly it back to Fort Worth, you can fly with me if you want to. I'll have my office manager bring the title, and we'll have it all cleared up. I'll fill it up with fuel, and you can take it back to California. And if you don't have a pilot to come fly you, I'll have my pilot fly you out there himself. But it's your airplane. Well, he put his head on my shoulder and wept like a baby. And then when he finally got his composure, he was praising God, and it was a boost to his faith.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
You know, even people that have been in this for a long time,
Everybody
needs a boost every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
I mean, I've had wonderful people like Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne. They were my mentors, but also they had me in their heart.
Yeah.
And many times, and John Osteen, precious John Osteen, I'd be in Australia, and the phone would ring at 3:00 in the morning. I'd say, who in the world's calling me at 3:00 in the morning? I'd answer the phone, Brother Jerry, Pastor John Osteen, Pastor Lakewood International Outreach Center, Houston, Texas. I knew all that, but he had to repeat it. He said, I just wanted you to know, Dodie and I had you on our mind. We're praying for you. Bye. I didn't even get to say anything. But I couldn't go back to sleep just thinking, John Osteen and Dodie Osteen had me on their mind. I'm going to make it, praise God. I'm going to make it, okay? I'd get calls from Brother Copeland. I'd be out in the bush of Africa somewhere, and I'd get a call. Jerry, where are you? It's Kenneth. I'd say, I'm in outside of Nairobi, Kenya. Well, boy, I've been trying to find you for days now. Just want you to know, Gloria and I love you. We're praying for you. I don't know what you're going through, but you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Goodbye. Call me when you get home. That's like sick 'em to a bulldog. Hallelujah. You know? We all need encouragement from time to time. Don't ever think you're so spiritual you don't need it. The Apostle Paul even said in writing to one of the churches that he had inspired him. I'm paraphrasing. They had inspired him. Because they had him on his mind, had him on their mind, and it was a boost to his faith knowing they were praying for him, amen. So notice how God was working behind the scenes. So I gave that airplane to Ed, and the Lord said, "Now that was your seed for your first jet." Oh, hallelujah! That'll straighten out your day. Praise God. As we say in the South, we're getting ready to fly in high cotton. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. And the story behind it is so amazing. And there's no way you could make up this story. A man was in my meeting in Wichita, Kansas in 1972 and asked me if I would like to visit the Cessna plant in Wichita, that he was an executive there. And he said, I'll take you to lunch, and then I'd like to show you around the plant. I said, I'd be happy to. So we went through every division, the single engine, the twin engine, all the way up. And he said, now, did you know Cessna has now began a jet program? I said, well, I've read about it, but I never seen one of them. He said, well, number one and number two are in the hangar, and I'd like to take you in to see it. And so we went in, he opened that hangar, and we went in, and there was Citation number one, first one ever built. Citation number two over on the other side. And it just took my breath. It was the most beautiful airplane I'd ever seen at that time. And he said, come on and step up in it. So we got up in, he said, get in the left seat. He sat in the right seat. He went through with the avionics. He said, can you see yourself someday flying one of these to your meeting? I said, well, I don't know if I'll be flying it, but I'll be riding in it. Hallelujah. I said, I don't have that I'm not type rated to that level. But yeah, I could see myself in this one day. And I'm thinking airplanes, fly, 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 you know. He said, go back and sit in the cabin. I went back there and I sat in this seat and I sat in that seat and I sat in that seat. And he said, pull that tray table out. And I pulled the tray table out and he said, can you see yourself sitting back here studying and praying on your way to a meeting? I said, yes, sir, I can. So we stepped out of the plane. And as I was walking away from it, the Lord said, stop. Now, this man doesn't know what I'm about to do because he didn't hear what I'm hearing. He said, stop. And I turned around. He said, face that airplane. I did. He said, now, I want you to call that airplane into your ministry. Just like your best friend growing up, Willie Taylor's mother, called him when it's time for him to come home. He said, you do remember Willie's mother. Said, I'll never forget Willie's mother. She was about this tall. But that woman could scream louder than anybody I've heard in my life. And the way she would call Willie. Now, we'd be off in the woods playing or swimming or hunting or something. And she'd stand out on the back porch on the steps and cup her hands like this. And the rule was, when he heard his mother call him, he had to be in sight of her. When he got home, he got a whooping. And in the South, whoopings are worse than whippings. Okay? We call them whoopings. Okay? And so she would cup her hands over her mouth and she'd go like this. Willie! And the Lee would go through the woods. You know? I don't care where we were. We'd be on top of a tree or we'd be in a pond swimming. And he'd hear the Lee coming through there. And he'd jump up and take off running. And I'm right behind him. And the rule was, once again, if she didn't see him coming toward her by the time she got through with the Willie, he got a whooping. And I seen him get a few. Okay? And I thought, Lord, what has this got to do with this airplane? He said, I want you to name that airplane Willie. And I want you to call it into your ministry right now, just like Willie's mama did. There's workers in here. This executive is standing right next to me. I'm going to look like a fool. He said, do you want the airplane or not? I said, yes. So I worked up the courage. This guy's standing there. He don't have a clue what I'm doing. I said, in the name of Jesus, from this day forward, your name is Willie, and I say to you, Willie, come on home, boy. I said, we can go now. We walked out the door. He never asked me anything about what I just did until we got in his car, and he was about to turn the ignition on. He said, do you mind if I ask you what that was all about? So I had to tell him the story. He said, okay, praise God. His name is Willie, and he's coming into your ministry. And kind of rolled his eyes, you know, and it didn't happen right away. But eventually, I wound up with citation number one. I painted on the side of the door, Willie. Flew it for 12 years. It was a great blessing. Then the Lord said, it's time to go to the next level. And the next one was a citation 500. With an eagle mod, which meant longer wings, flew higher, flew faster. I flew it for a while, And the Lord told me to sow it into Brother Copeland's ministry for his grandchildren and his children to use, because they were all out preaching out. And I sowed it into his ministry. Now, all this time, I've got this prophetic word. Airplanes, 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 fly, fly, fly. And God has been honoring it. Every time I needed another airplane, if I stayed in faith, God saw to it, it came to pass. He was always working behind the scenes, just like he's doing in your behalf right now. Okay? While you're sitting right here, God is working behind the scenes. Did you hear me at the beginning? A major breakthrough is headed your way, praise God. Something big is on the horizon. Just stay in faith, keep celebrating and praising God in advance. Why don't we do that one more time? Amen. Just celebrate and praise God in advance. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, during COVID 2020, a partner friend of mine called me and he said, "Brother Jerry, I don't know anything about airplanes, but I've heard you talk about you're believing for an international aircraft and you called it a Falcon 50. He said, "A friend of mine told me there's a Falcon 50 in San Marcos, Texas, that's been in a hangar for about 5 months. I don't know who owns it. I don't know if it's for sale, but I thought I'd call you and maybe it's something you'd like to check on." So I had my chief pilot call down there to San Marcos at the airport and report back to me. And he said, "Yes, there is a Falcon 50 in the hangar. It's been sitting there for about 5 months. It's owned by a businessman in Houston and it is for sale." And I said, "Well, can you tell me anything about it?" He said, "Well, the best part is it's only got 4,200 hours on it." Now, it's a little bit older Falcon, but 4,200 hours, that's not even broke in good. And I looked at newer models that had 10, 12, 14,000 hours on them. So that was a selling point and what got me to go check it out. So we went down there and the broker met us, had the plane outside the hangar. So we asked him if he could step up in it. And I told Brad, my chief pilot, "Go up in the cockpit, shut the door, and you take a look at the avionics and see what you think and see if there's anything that you would suggest that we'd need to upgrade if this is the airplane God has for us. And I'm going to be back here walking around in the cabin praying and listening to the Lord. If you get anything, let me know. If I get anything, I'll let you know." I said, "Tell the broker to step outside. Shut the door." So he did. And so I'm walking around back there, and man, the joy of the Lord hit me. Anybody ever had the joy of the Lord just come on you suddenly? Yes. I mean, it hit me. I'm shouting. I'm praising God. I'm running up and down the aisle, and I heard it hit Brad up in the cockpit. I said, "Brad, get back here." I said, "Where's joy come from?" He said, "From the Holy Ghost." I said, "Yeah, it's the fruit of the Spirit." I said, "This is my airplane. This is my airplane. I know it's my airplane. Tell that broker to get back up here. We're going to buy it." Now, he's opened the door and went to find the broker. And in the meantime, the Lord said to me, "Don't negotiate. Pay him what he's asking." I said, "Lord, that's not how we do business down here." You always negotiate on an airplane because they'll take less than what they're asking. He said, "Don't negotiate. I'll make it up to you on the end." Wow. Now, I didn't know what that meant, but in obedience to God, I said, "Okay, I'll tell him I'm going to pay him what he's asking." And by the way, I didn't have enough money to pay cash for this airplane. I'm just following the leading of the Lord. He's never failed me up to this point. Okay. And so when the broker stepped up in the airplane, I said, "Sir, this is my airplane. I'm going to buy it. And I'll pay cash and I'll pay what the owner's asking for it." He said, "You don't want to negotiate?" I wanted to say, "Yeah, but God won't let me." But I kept my mouth shut. I said, "No, I'll pay you what he's asking for it. Let's go draw up the contract." So we did. I said, "Now, what is it going to take to go into a pre-buy? And he told me it's a few hundred thousand dollars to put it down to go into a pre-buy. Okay? So we did that. And so in the pre-buy, you check to make sure all the inspections are current. Okay? Because legally you can't sell the airplane if the inspections are not current unless you say up front, as is. And he did. The owner was not selling it as is.
Right.
So he's responsible for paying for the inspections that are past due. Okay, it's been sitting in a hangar for 5 months. So I said, you tell the owner he'll have to pay for those inspections, and then when he does, I will pay him what he's asking for it. He said, okay. So the first inspection cost $250,000. The second inspection was $125,000. The third inspection was right at $100,000. Anybody add that up real quick? We're close to $500,000 the owner is having to pay before I ever buy the airplane. Which means I don't have to pay it. After I get it. Okay? And then the owner said to the broker, tell Mr. Savelle if he wants this airplane, I'm not paying for that last inspection. He'll have to pay for it. But also tell him if he'll pay for it, I'll knock $250,000 off the asking price.
Wow.
I said, tell him it's a deal. And I paid for that last inspection, and it was less than $100,000. So I made $150,000. Okay? And then, now, watch how God's working behind the scenes. I realize this is a long story, but it's going to make an impression on you. Okay? 30 years before, God told me to buy some land around our ministry. Okay? And I never intended to develop it. It was just for an investment. I bought that land for dimes on the dollar back years ago, 30 years before. It was undeveloped. It was just nothing but weeds out there. And then a broker came to me a real estate guy came to me, a developer, about the time I've made the deal on this airplane, and he says, I want to buy this land. I said, well, it's not all for sale, just this portion over here. He said, I'll give you $1.5 million for the portion you want to sell, which I'd only paid $40,000 for 30 years before. I said, deal. That gave me enough with what I already had to pay cash for the airplane. Now notice, you trust you're being led by the Spirit in doing certain things, but you don't know what God's got in mind.
No, you don't.
You can't see the big picture.
That's true.
Amen? But He can. And the Bible talks about being led by the Spirit. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then you're always going to be in the right place at the right time. God's working behind the scenes and making things happen for you when you get there. Amen? That's what I'm endeavoring to say to you this morning. Some of you are in need of a major breakthrough, and God wants you to know He's working behind the scene. What you've been doing has not been in vain. Just keep believing, keep standing, keep praying, keep sowing.
Yes, glory amen. To God. Amen.
And keep celebrating.
Yes, amen.
Because your breakthrough is about to break through. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord another shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's always working behind the scenes. So now, we have an international aircraft. We flew it. We were flying it to Africa to be with John Ben Dixon. And boy, we were, there it is right there. All right, now look at this. I want you to see something. I did this as a testimony. This airplane manifested in 2020 during COVID. When the world is screaming worst of times, we were having our best of times. I requested from the FAA to change the N number to 920 Juliet Sierra or Jesus Saves, or Jerry Savelle, whichever you want to. You know. 9, it manifested in September of 2020, and I've deliberately put that on there so everywhere we go, if somebody asks, what's the number stand for? I'd tell them, it shows that God works behind the scenes, even in COVID. Even in the worst of times, God was causing us to have our best of times. Amen. Now, we started flying that to South Africa back, was it earlier this year? In February. And got all the way to Nairobi, Kenya. Stopped and refueled. Took off. Got up about, 7 or 8,000 feet. And the co-pilot noticed that we lost pressure in that engine on top. Oil pressure. So they turned around and came back and landed. Well, they shut the engine down, hoping that it didn't damage the engine. But what had happened was the oil pump blew up, just blew open. And they shut it down, thinking that they got it in time so none of the metal shavings would get into the engine and shut it down. But when we landed, we asked if they had a step ladder where we could get up there and open the cowling. And sure enough, that oil pump had blown up and metal got in the engine, shut that engine down. Now, you can safely fly this airplane and land this airplane on 2 engines, okay? However, we decided not to do it because the nations between Kenya and South Africa were in turmoil. And if we had to make an emergency landing, I didn't want to take a chance on them confiscating my airplane. So we left it in Nairobi with the pilots, and we flew commercial the rest of the trip. Now, to overhaul one of those engines is $1.5 million apiece. And that third engine we lost. Okay, so it's got to be overhauled. So we had to order a loaner engine that came out of San Diego. And they shipped it all the way to Nairobi. Then we had to bring, they don't have a Falcon service center in Nairobi, but they do in Joburg. We had to fly 2 or 3 mechanics from Joburg up to Nairobi to take the engine off and put the loaner engine on and ship our engine back home to be overhauled. Okay? So that meant I had to make the rest of my tour commercial. And then it took them a while to get all that done, and then they eventually picked me up in France and flew me home. Okay? Now, I was not planning on spending another $1.5 million on that plane. I'd already done a lot of things to it after I got it. I was not planning on paying all the shipment costs, all the mechanic costs, all the stuff. I mean, it was several million dollars. But God was working behind the scenes. All I had to pay was minimum. I mean, I could have taken it out of my pocket and paid it.
Wow.
And I don't carry millions of dollars in my pocket. It was all taken care of. It was all taken care of. My insurance company paid most of it. Another company that we are connected to that we pay monthly to have it ready if an engine ever goes down. It was already there, okay? And then another company, the builder of the engine, come to find out that engine had already been overhauled once, and it was their responsibility to cover the cost of that engine. It was a failure on their part. Didn't cost me but just a handful of dollars, and there we're back up in air again, praise God. God was working behind the scenes. And he's working behind the scenes now.
Yes.
He always works behind the scenes. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And now here recently. And I'm enjoying this airplane. I love this airplane. I love this airplane. It smiles every time I show up. It's a wonderful airplane. We flew it here. But I've had the Lord say recently, son, I'm not done. Airplanes, airplanes, airplanes. Fly, fly, fly. If you like this one, you're really going to like the next one. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. What do you suppose he has in store for little Jerry Savelle? Hallelujah. Amen. And I know, I've sensed in my spirit over the last few days that something is going to take place during the first quarter of 2024, where that's concerned. What are you going to do with that one when you get it? That's between me and God. Don't lust after my airplane. I'll do whatever God tells me to do with it. Praise God. Amen. Now, just before I close, I got to read something to you. This morning, I was awakened at 2:02 a.m. How do you know? Because I always, when the Holy Spirit wakes me up, I always put a time on it. And here's, I sensed in my spirit, he had a word, an encouraging word that I was to leave with you this morning. And I want to read it to you. Many of you in here today have been standing for a breakthrough for a long, long time, wondering when it would happen and if I would do it as you've seen it in your mind. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So just trust me. I know what I'm doing, and I've got it all worked out. I've already gone before you and surely made a way. Rest assured your breakthrough is coming, and there will be no more delays. Finances, healings, and miracles too. They're already been arranged for you. So lift your hands and praise me, for I'm the God of your breakthrough. What your enemy meant for evil, I've turned into something good. I'll always cause you to triumph, just like I said I would. So no more tears of sorrow, only tears of joy and happiness. Yes, the Lord of the breakthrough has broken through for you. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a good shout. Praise God. Will you stand with me and give the Lord a great shout of praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I told you this one time before when I was here on a previous visit, and I just want to repeat it so that you will recall it. In 1992, I was in a little town outside of Houston called Liberty, Texas. A pastor friend of mine there, I was preaching for Joel Osteen. And when I got through with that meeting, he came up to me and said, "You're almost in Liberty. Could you come over tomorrow night and be with us?" I said, "Pastor, I've been preaching every day for several days now, and I'm tired. I'd really like to go home. I'll check my schedule and see when I can come back." He said, "I understand, Brother Jerry, but we want you to come tomorrow night. Would you just please consider it?" Well, he's a precious man, and I didn't want to turn him down. So I said, I'll be there tomorrow night. So we went over to Liberty, Texas, and there's just one little hotel there. Only had about 10 or 12 rooms. So when I checked in, all I unpacked was my alarm clock, and I didn't unpack anything else. I knew if I didn't get at least an hour nap before going into that service, I wouldn't be 100%. I don't like going like that. So I just set my alarm clock for 1 hour nap. And the moment I laid down and closed my eyes, the Shekinah glory filled the room, and Jesus appeared. And he said this to me. He said, "My people know me as Savior. They know me, many know me as baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some know me as healer and some know me as deliverer. But they don't all know me as the God of the breakthrough." He said, "If they did, they wouldn't be so quick to give up." Right. He said, "Tell them the God of the breakthrough wants to visit their house." So there was no more sleeping then. Man, I was so fired up, I could hardly wait to get to that service. And so when the pastor came for me, I'm standing there outside waiting for him. And the Lord said to me, "And tell them this. The depth of their praise will determine the magnitude of their breakthrough." Amen. The depth of their praise will determine the magnitude of their breakthrough. So when I got over there that night, I preached on the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house. Shortly after that, I put it in a book, and it's gone all over the world. And then that night, I said, "Now the depth of your praise will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. So I said, now just how badly do you want to break through? I said, then show God. I'm saying that to you this morning. Just how badly do you want a breakthrough? Then show God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The God of the breakthrough is visiting our house. Hallelujah. We worship you and we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if by the time some of you got back here tonight, you're testifying of your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Remember, He's the God that the prophet said, this time tomorrow, everything will change. Well, if He can do it by this time tomorrow, He can do it by this time tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him another shout of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, Pastor.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Woo, glory. Brother, you can be seated. Brother Jerry, would you mind doing me a big favor? The first part at the very beginning, you read from your journal, your what you said, not the 202, the first part. Would you just read that first paragraph or the first few lines again for me? I couldn't write it down fast enough as you were saying it. Just that first few lines of what you said when you said last night the Lord was dealing with you.
Okay.
For our congregation.
The first thing He said was, tell those who have remained faithful throughout all the turmoil that's been taking place in their world, that you're on the brink of a major breakthrough. This is not the time to give up or to back off. God is working behind the scenes in your behalf, even as you are sitting here listening to me today. Something good is about to happen to you. You're entering into a new season of blessings. Favor is coming to you in ways you've never experienced before. You're about to experience some very positive changes in your life, and you're going to be so glad that you didn't give up. Miracle breakthroughs are coming, and your God is not going to allow you to be defeated. Something big is on the horizon. What seemed impossible yesterday and looked as though it would never happen, it's about to happen. God has not forgotten you. You are ever before His face. He always has you on His mind. It's a Psalm 20 moment for you. And then I read Psalm 20. And notice it says, when you succeed and not if you succeed, it's a sure thing. So don't, and then I just said, why don't we go ahead and celebrate and shout for joy now? Is that the part you were on?
Sir.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if all of you check your email because I've been away for the last 2 weeks, but I was sitting in the hotel room in the resort, and, you know, Jenny was sleeping, and I just, you know, you can feel the Holy Ghost kind of bubbling. And so I said, Lord, what do you want? He said, I want you to pray. And that spirit of prayer fell on me. And for a number of hours, I just began to pray for the church. And after about 2 hours, the word of the Lord came to me very strongly in that hotel room, and I made that little recording the next day or 2 days later, and I sent it to you because the Lord said to me, He started talking to me about faithfulness and about how there's been a tremendous season of pressure on many of you, and that this is not a time. Do you remember where I said it? I read you Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 38. This is not a time to give up. This is not a time to back off. This is not a time to quit. This is not a time to cast away our confidence or turn back. My soul is no pleasure in those that turn back, Hebrews 10:38. And I said, now, excuse me, this is not a time to worry, because some of you are under such pressure that there's a fear trying to creep in. And I said, Lord, I'm on holiday. This is not the time to be thinking about this. No, seriously, that's a time for me to rest. And the Lord said, your congregation needs to hear this now. It cannot wait until you get back to preach to them next Sunday, the 12th of November. You send that now. And when he's in the room last night, I did not say one word. When I was having lunch with him, I thought to myself, I need to tell him of the word that I gave the church, just in case the Holy Ghost wants to lead him in a similar direction. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, hold your peace. So I didn't say a word to Brother Jerry. And when he got to the hotel sometime that evening, God said, it's coming out in a different way, but it's the same, almost the same. Some of the phrases are even the same. About that this is a time that God is working behind the scene. He has not forgotten. He has not forgotten your faith or your faithfulness. And he is the breakthrough. And so I just want to draw attention to that, because it was so strong on me in that hotel room that I did that video, even though, you know, I wasn't really thinking about the church, so to speak, because that's my only time in the whole year that I rest and I turn my phone off and I don't look at anything to do with work or ministry. But he came to me, he said, this is important. And I want you to know that God has confirmed that through a prophet of God who knew nothing about that situation whatsoever. And so I want you to take that as a serious instruction that God is saying to every one of us at Promise of Life. This is not a time to back off. There's not a time to be less faithful. There's not a time to be afraid. There's not a time to feel like God has forgotten about us. Because, and also I said, and Pastor Jerry, Brother Jerry, you don't know this, but for the last month or so, I've been telling the congregation we're about to enter into a new season. God's been talking about 2024 being a new season for us as a congregation. He doesn't know that. So I just feel vindicated. That's not really the right word, but I just feel overjoyed today, Jenny. That God, that I heard right, that I said it right, and that God confirmed it through a prophet of God and through a spiritual father figure in our lives, so that nobody would think, oh, that's just Pastor Craig going on again, you know, just trying to encourage us or trying to whatever. No, God is trying to communicate something to this church, and he is working behind the scenes. I think we need to keep that verse before that the Passion Translation where it says he's working. I think you need to keep that on your lips a lot. We're going to get this written out. We're going to get it printed for you. If we can't do it for tonight, we'll definitely have it for tomorrow night on a nice background, on a cardstock, so you can put it on your fridge. We'll also email it to you so you can have it on your phone, a screensaver. But you need to read those words that Brother Jerry has given us. You know, he is a man of God and a prophet of God, and he has words for 2024, and I'm sure he'll share more as the services continue. But God saw fit to speak to him twice in the evening and then in the middle of the night just for us. That is such a precious thing. Father, we thank you. We are so grateful to you, Holy Ghost, for speaking to us through your servant, Lord, for confirming the words of their pastor, Lord, through another mouth that did not know any of those details. Father, we take this word seriously, and we are deeply encouraged by it. And we thank you for the new season that's about to dawn. We thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough that is on the horizon. Big things are on the horizon for us. They're just around the corner. And I thank you for it, and I bless you.